Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
And the Oilers signing James Stephan today from the Portland Winterhawks. And his father, of course, Patrick Stephan. And that lent itself to our Oilers Now trivia today for Pro-Am Sports. All correct answers in March enter to win a framed and autographed Ryan Smith photo. Check out Pro-Am Sports in Edmonton on St. Albert Trail and proamsports.ca. And the question was, when Patrick Stephan missed the empty net against Edmonton, the one that Ray Ferraro said, that's ridiculous, who scored the goal of 2 seconds left the other way for the Oilers? The correct answer was Alish Hemsky. Congratulations to Gordo. You entered to win the draw for the Ryan Smith jersey. Alish Hemsky, by the way, did a signing at Pro-Am Sports, so that's your place for Oilers past and present, including a new one coming up for Vincent Desharnais. Having a lot of fun on today's show. Rob Ray in town, Louis DeBrus talking a little bit about enforces the Oilers and the Sabres. Second hour of Oilers Now is brought to you by our title sponsor, World of Spas. Keep texting us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you always wanted at Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue. By the way, 10 pages worth of text came in a span of about 4 minutes on that question. So that's good because there's 50 texts per page. Ron McLean from NHL Hockey and Rogers for Century Casino Edmonton. Every day is a game day at Century Casino Sports Bar and Lounge. Head to Century Casino, 131st Avenue and Fort Road. Hello, Ron. How you doing?
I'm great, Bob, and loved listening to Louis reminisce with you. That was so good. You probably had a few texts on that as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a lot of texts coming in. When you think of those times, I guess when you're somebody that's got the gravitas of a Ron McLean, you don't want to forget anybody, but are there a couple guys or moments that stand out for you in terms of the pugilistic days of the past of the National Hockey League?
Well, Louis was right on the money with Wendell Clark, because Scotty Bowman used to say Wendell Clark is the fastest 6 seconds of anything, whether it's getting off his patented wrister, getting in on the forecheck for a big hit, getting a few fists in a flurry. He said 6 seconds of Wendell is better than anybody in hockey. And I always thought that was such a fascinating way to describe him. The late Chris Simon, you know, I really loved Chris, was around him. And one of the nicest compliments that I ever heard about him was Brendan Morrow. When he retired, he wrote in the Players' Tribune that there was only one guy he would not look in the eye, and that was Chris. He says, I was terrified of Chris. Chris would, you know, just sashay up to you at a face-off and say, you do anything, I'm going to kill you. And he said, I never looked him in the eye because I knew, A, he could, and I was just so intimidated by Chris. So that was, a guy that I thought a lot. Dave Manson, I was involved when Dave got a 10-game suspension for coming back on the ice. Denny Savard was fighting Gary Lehman, remember?
They had him out of the building in the end zone there, and then Denny was, Lehman was, his Notre Dame hound. He knew what he was doing. And Dave Manson went Charlie on that one. He went off the top rope, didn't he?
Yeah, and he also was great on the St. Patrick's Day Massacre when he and Scott Stevens, yes, who was with the Blues, came to center ice. And, I mean, it was electric. It was a heavyweight fight. Both guys threw down their gloves right at center. And I remember looking at the players who were watching that, to see who was going white and faint. And one guy that surprised me that seemed really, because they played back-to-back, the Blues and the Blackhawks. So it was bad enough that you have a massacre, but you got to go again. And I thought Adam Oates, that was where he really showed me that he could handle all of the extracurriculars. He didn't get involved in them, but he wasn't afraid of them. And that's just something that struck me. Another name that, because you mentioned John Kordick, Louis did, Dan Kordick and I refereed together. After Dan's career, he was going to referee. He ended up getting a great job, so the refereeing thing never really happened for him. But for about a year, I would take Dan Kordick as a linesman, and we would tootle around, and just such an impressive human being. I really enjoyed Dan, and by extension, I kind of cheered for the late John Kordick. So those are a couple of... And the other thing I couldn't, maybe you could substantiate, or maybe a listener could, but I seem to remember Rob Ray having on his gloves graveyard and hospital. Like he's gonna send you to the graveyard or to the hospital when he dropped his gloves. I don't know if that rings a bell with you.
I don't remember that. I mean, Kordick was in town. I'm a 66. I think he was a 65. Todd Ewan, who's no longer with us, was a 66. Yeah. And we've talked before about this, Ron. Like St. Albert had and Manny Viveros was the best player in Northern Alberta by a mile at that time. But Todd Ewan was a really good forward, a good player. And those guys all, they went to junior and they had to change and adapt. And that's, I think that's what people forget sometimes is, you know, I had one of the retired police officers join me over at the wine room in Pub 1905 the other night. And he pulled out the top 10 scores from 82-83 in midget double A. And I loved it because I was ahead of Gary Shuchuk. How that's possible, I don't know. I think it was because I was 16 and they were all 15. Guy Gadelski, the head coach of Penn State, was my line mate on that team. But I remember I was nowhere near good enough to play in the 12 and 14 team WHL. And Todd Ewan might have been the best forward of the 66-borns in Northern Alberta at that time. There were some other guys, Pacine and Ray Podlaski. They both played in Boston.
He played for Red Deer, Rustlers.
Yeah, yeah. They were good players, and unfortunately Ray was a skills coach, and he passed away too young. But those guys were really good players. And it's like, do you realize how good you have to be to play and adapt? And it's never lost to me just how incredible, like even Zach Stortini, who was incredibly limited in the NHL, played forever as a hard-nosed energy guy in the minors. He scored 30 goals one season in the OHL as a 20. Like, he was a force in that league as a 20. And, like, you have to be a pretty good player to be able to compete at that level, Ron.
I remember Christoph Oliva. He was playing for the Welland Flames. So it was Junior B in Ontario, and I was down there refereeing in the old Welland Arena. It was a great wooden structure. They all were Montreal fans. It's a Francophone town. Anyway, they brought in Oliva from Poland, and he wore 88, kind of to honor Eric Lindros, and he was a man among boys, obviously. But, oh, my God, he had magic hands. And he used to, even when he played in the NHL and was winning Stanley Cups, at the end of practice, I don't know if you ever saw him do it, but he used to just be able to pick the puck up, you know, like a Bedard does or a Connor McDavid does, and he would fill the bucket, you know, just the softest hands with a hockey puck and the toughest hands in a fight. So, and the other, before I forget, because Vinny Desharnais is not going to play tonight, sounds like you're saying, but too bad, because the next game he plays will be his 100th game, and you and Craig McTavish were having that great chat about, everybody. Connor was talking about how, you know, he's one of the great stories and maybe their best draft to find him, as you said, in the seventh round. Do you know how many, so 100 game, next time he suits up, do you know how many in the last 8 years seventh rounders have played 100 games? The answer is none. Not a single seventh rounder.
I'm stealing that.
So Vinny will become the first. He's a 2016 draft, of course. That's the year Austin Matthews was first overall. And from that draft, you've got Tage Thompson. So he went 26th to the St. Louis Blues. You know, Jesse Puljujärvi was Oilers' top pick, and Charlie McAvoy was Boston's at 14. The guys that kind of jump out of the 2016 draft are Desharnais at 183. 159 was Brandon Hagel. Buffalo, funny enough, picked Brandon Hagel out of the Red Deer.
Alberta, right outside.
Well, you're right. Yeah, and then, for Brett, he went late, 162. But back to, so 2016 draft, Vinny goes in the seventh round. He's the only guy who will play 100. The 2015 draft, there were three guys out of the seventh round got to 100 games, most notably Matt Roy at L.A.
Yeah.
He's a real surprise. At 194, he went out of Michigan Tech. And then the year prior to that, the last pick overall in the draft, Jacob Middleton to L.A., 206th overall. He's played 100 games in the NHL, or did. And the year before that, 2013, and then I'll shut this down, but Mackenzie Weegar, I don't know if people realize, 206th overall out of Halifax. There were four guys played 100 games out of the seventh round back in 2013. But so Vinny's on, you know, rarefied territory with his achievement.
Well, since the 2004 draft, you mentioned, you know, Desharnais, seventh in 2016. The Oilers had fourth, fifth, and sixth round picks in 2015 playing the league. Caleb Jones, defenseman. Ethan Bear, defenseman. John Marino. And then they hit on Darnay the next year. Kemp got called up for a game in Montreal this year, had to play forward. Not out of the realm of possibilities that he's on the team next year as a seventh-round pick. The Oilers have been able to find defense, Ron. But yeah. Since 2004, they have not drafted one forward after Great. Round one that has had either a 30-goal season in the NHL or a 60-point season. So they've been able to hit on some D, but you know they haven't been able to find any support scoring, and that's part of the reason why they're good. But if they had been able to hit on a couple, they'd be really good. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Scotty Harlow gets credit for Marino, as you pointed out, and he's the guy that found Vinny Desharnais down in Providence. So that's an impressive, and the other guy out of the 2016, we're really looking forward to, obviously, Edmonton-Toronto Saturday night. This has been an amazing run for the city of Toronto. The premier of New Brunswick, Blaine Higgs, will have UNB in tomorrow morning. They're going to honor the Reds on the winning of their 10th, and that happened at the Matamy, the old Maple Leaf Gardens. We had the PWHL, of course, plays there. Tomorrow morning, I'll drop the puck and be a part of the Blind Hockey National Championships are taking place at Matamy, and then the Oilers roll into town. So it's like, and we had the All-Star. So it's really been a great stretch for Toronto hockey fans. And Luke Gazdick, Bob, will be on Hockey Night in Canada. Kelly's off this weekend. Bieksa almost had to miss. Poor Kevin Bieksa. I was live watching online this morning. His team, Fairmont Prep, who won the state championship of California for 16 and under. They went to the Nationals, and Kevin was planning a way to try and beat Shattuck St. Mary's, the program that produced Sidney Crosby. Right. He said, honestly, Ron, he said they've got guys from Alaska, guys from Phoenix, guys from every corner of America are on that team in Shattuck St. Mary's. So they almost beat them. It was 6-5. Shattuck got Fairmont, which is a monumental effort, and then they lose in overtime in the game this morning to Springfield, and that'll put them out of it, unfortunately, for a shot at the victory. But just neat to see. So Luke Gazdick and Kevin will be on, and there's two pretty good guys with respect to fisticuffs to come full circle.
Yeah, well, Luke Tkachuk, and we mentioned last week, Ben, his brother played for McGill. Gardner McDougall, UNB's won in back-to-back years. They beat Alberta last year 3-0. Bears were playing three nights and nowhere near as good as the team they had the year before. They probably should have won. But UNB had a perfect season this year, and what's happened, Ron, is they are so psychologically in the heads now of the kids, the schools in the AUS, that all the best kids are loading up and going to one program. And Gardner McDougall is a hell of a coach. Like, he won the Memorial Cup with St. John's a couple years ago, and people go, well, wait a second, isn't he a university coach? Yeah, they brought him, they fired their coach after the first round of the playoffs, brought Gardner in, and one of the things we're seeing with the Memorial Cup is the host team, Rocky Thompson won as a host team. He beat Chris Knobloch in 2017 when Erie was the OHL champ. Those host teams are rested. And they can be really disciplined and focused and build some game plans around a couple different teams. And then the respective junior champions go there, and they're just exhausted.
And advanced scouting, if you want to call it that, when you have that luxury of time to prepare, one of the things that Edmonton's done so well and why Chris Knobloch's numbers are off the charts is they seem to be able to make adjustments. They no matter, like obviously it was power plays the other night that kind of saved their bacon, but they continually fine-tune during the course of a night. They don't seem to be starting as well as I'm sure Chris would like and, Oilers fans would like. But that is, I think I've told you before, Dwight McMillan, who coached in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League and racked up 1,000 victories. And people always said, how did he do it? And guys would say, he could go down 2-0 in a series, but guaranteed by the end of the second game, he would have completely parsed and analyzed or done the forensics, and he would know how to win. He would find the Achilles heel. Like, Kevin did a great job to win the state championship with his Fairmont Prep team. They would chip it in, soft dump, but they didn't then forecheck that D-man because the thing Kevin had identified is that the team they were playing for the state championship, their D didn't make great first passes. They were apt to either fall or make a poor decision and cough up the puck if you didn't press them too much. If you gave them the luxury of a split second, they would do the error for you. So that's just advanced scouting and good coaching, and that's what Knobloch does, and that's what Gardner McDougall is. He's the king of. They didn't give up a goal.
UBC had the second best team, and they outshot McGill 37-14 and lost tube on it. I can't, I did 13 years of Golden Bears run. They won six times. Their three best teams didn't win because of how that tournament works. It's just the way it is. That's what happens. And I'll give you a name for the future. His name's Keaton. Speaking of a guy that knows how to make a 5-foot pass, 6'4", 190-pound right shot D, Keaton Veroff. He's up to 12 games now as a 15-year-old. He was at POE with Jerome McGinley in Kelowna. This guy is he's going to be really good. And he's focused on defense and 5-foot pass. And you think of Nick Lidstrom, 5-foot pass. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And that's what Desharnais, that's what McDavid pointed out. The thing that goes unnoticed that he's really good at is that short outlet pass. So, very, very impressive to see what he's done. And I'll tell you from my friends playing beer league hockey last night about Buffalo. They see them a lot. A lot of the guys have season seats because it's about one-tenth the cost. Yeah. He said Zach Benson. Darcy Lazard is his name. I've heard you say that, and he said Benson definitely stood out. And the other thing for them is Bowen Byram comes in. He's cocky. I don't know how well you know him. but Bowen is, he doesn't suffer fools gladly, and he's got an edge. And the problem for him in Colorado was that's Nathan's job, McKinnon. So, he now inherits a situation where Dahlin's got a little edge, but he's not that guy. And Owen Power's certainly not that guy. And Krebs and Cousins aren't those guys. So now you get Bowen Byram comes in, and suddenly the wolf with his tail in the air seems to have stirred that that organization in such a positive way. It's neat to see. It'd be a good game tonight.
All right, Ron. Hopefully we'll see you Saturday morning at the morning skate in Toronto. It's great having you on the show this year. Thanks for joining us on Oilers Now.
Pleasure, Bob. Talk soon.
You bet. That is Ron McLean from NHL Hockey and Rogers. He's our Oilers Now headliner, brought to you by Wilhauk Beef Jerky. It's the best you've ever tasted. Search for Wilhauk, W-I-L-H-A-U-K today. And Ron McLean joins us weekly, courtesy of Century Casino Edmonton. Every day is game day at Century Casino Sports Bar and Lounge. Head to Century Casino, 131st Avenue and Fort Road. We'll tell you guests and Oilers Now receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite place to celebrate your special occasion. Don and the staff at Japanese Village, try a Wagyu steak today. We will wrap up the show with This Day in Oilers History when we return on Oilers Now. We're going to go to This Day in Oilers History for New West Travel again, that Southeast Asia trip, Chartered River Cruise. Next March, reach out to newwesttravel.com for more information. And here's Brendan Escott.
1998, Curtis Joseph set an Oilers team record with his seventh shutout of the season and the 18th of his career in a 2-0 win over the St. Louis Blues. Joseph broke his own record of six shutouts that he set in 96-97.
Brandon, I'm going to keep you in this part of the conversation because you're hosting tomorrow. Oil Kings Director of Business Operations, Kevin Radomski, is going to be on. The Oil Kings, Brandon, are averaging 10,000-plus fans per game for their last seven home games. That does not include Sunday, where they're already over 14,500 fans. I just want people to think about that for a second. The Oil Kings, by the way, are going to miss the playoffs. They've had a good second half, but this has been a bit of a rebuilding year. They're going to have eight straight games, averaging 10,000-plus fans. How do you think hockey in Arizona compares to that?
Yeah, that's... do you think they know about that in Arizona?
I can 100% guarantee you that Gary Bettman knows about what the Oil Kings are drawing for attendance.
Right.
Because I would have a feeling that somebody I know maybe mentioned it to him. It's not at the ownership level, but... there's somebody out there, by the way, Edmonton's, in a rebuilding year of their major junior team, and they're averaging 10,000-plus fans a game for their final eight regular season games. It's hilarious. You know what I mean, man? It's funny.
It's phenomenal. A huge tip of the cap to the promotional team that they have there because that drives a lot of it, but it's a great product there, and it's a great building to watch that product.
No question about it. So Brendan's got Oilers Now tomorrow. I'll join him for a hit. Daily Faceoff's Frank Saravalli for Horse Racing Alberta. Racing returning May 4th at Century Mile Racetrack and Casino. For more information, go to lahorses.com. Again, Kevin Radomski on, who, by the way, won the Business Executive of the Year the last 3 years in the Western Hockey League. And up next, Randy Kilburn. His Bruins are down 1-0 here, I think. Are they? Is that the game that's on right now? Has he still got that tattoo on him? I'm not sure. He's got a Global News weather traffic update. City Ford face-off show with Reid Wilkins at 5:35. I'll join you at 6:05. So long, everybody.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.